I get the privilege and the opportunity to speak to you this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. We have been in Acts chapter 8 for probably close to a month now. We've been kind of working our way through this. If you have been with us on Sunday morning for any period of time, you have known that we are working on Sunday mornings through a series through the book of Acts. That has become one of my most favorite and cherished books in the Bible. Why? Because everything that we just sung is everything that Paul is talking about in the book of Acts. Standing with boldness, standing with a will to make much of Jesus, no matter whatever the circumstances or situations are. And so this morning, we get the opportunity to look at a very unique story. We get the opportunity to kind of connect some dots from some things that took place in Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 8, and from the beginning of Acts 8 to the end of Acts 8. God is just doing some special and some unique things through His church, and specifically through the Holy Spirit in His church. And so I want us to read this passage of Scripture, and then we are going to take our time and just work through it. And hopefully you will just walk away with a better understanding of what God wants to do with you, how God wants to use you, and the ways in which God can use you. So Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40 is where we will be at today. If you will join me in your copy of God's Word, just follow along as I read. If you don't have your Bible, the passage of Scripture will be on the screen. Verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah and the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Verse 31, and he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was like this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer he is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." If you'll move back to verse 26 with me, we're just going to work our way through this passage, kind of grasp an understanding of what's taking place here, because this is a really special moment. There's something special going on here. There's a man of influence who the gospel is being shared with. And the first thing that you see in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. So the first thing that we have to grasp, if I can remind you and move you back to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we remember that God allowed persecution to happen to his church so that what would happen? His people would be scattered. His people would be moved. His people would be displaced from Jerusalem. And so the reason that I take you back there is because we see two different pictures of things taking place here. In this one, we see obedience. We'll talk about that in a second. But in the first one, there was obedience through the moving of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is that Acts 1:8 talked about how his disciples, his people, would be his witnesses all throughout the earth, to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria. But they were comfortable in Jerusalem, worshiping with the people that they worship with, doing the things that they were doing. And so God moved them through persecution of Saul and his people to a place to where God would use them. Where did they go? Judea and Samaria, specifically Samaria. And we see that God moved his people to that place, fulfilling his promise in Acts 1:8, that he would move them there, that they would be witnesses there, that they would share the gospel there, that they would make much of Jesus in that place. And so as we look at this passage, we see a different picture. To where they were comfortable and complacent, Philip said, hey, the angel of the Lord, which most believe that that was the Holy Spirit, said to Philip, rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Verse 27 says, and he rose and went. Different picture there, right? To where God had to kind of push them out. Philip says, okay, I'll go. Okay, where it is that I'm going? Okay, I know how to get there. Okay, I will follow wherever it is that you're calling me to. And so we see a different attitude, in a sense, from Acts 8, 1 through 4 to Acts 8, 26 through 40, where there's obedience in God's people who are saying, I'm willing to move wherever it is that you're calling me to. I'm willing to go wherever it is that you are sending me to. There's something that we have to understand in this idea of Philip being called is Philip had a very successful ministry where he was. Okay? Philip was being very successful in what he was doing. And the things that he was accomplishing. God was being fruitful through Philip's ministry. And so for Philip to say, okay, for Philip to just rise and to go was a big deal. Because for some of us, we get to that place, we like to use Christian words sometimes, so if you are not an avid church attender, I will attempt to define this comfort zone. A place where you are comfortable. We get to that place to where God is saying, hey, I'm ready to call you outside of that little circle, that little space, that little area that you're not willing to move outside of. Philip could have easily looked at God and said, no. Probably wouldn't have worked out well for him. He could have said, I'm not going. He could have said, God, I don't want to leave. Why would I leave now in the most fruitful time of my ministry? God, why would I leave now when you are doing great things through me? God, isn't there somebody else? Y'all said it before. Isn't there somebody else that can go? Isn't there somebody else that can serve? Isn't there somebody else that you want to use in this specific place, in this specific ministry? Can I check out for a second? And this is just a side note. Mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, don't discourage your kids from being missionaries, even if it's taking them to the ends of the earth. That's an issue today. I know that you love your kids, but God loves them more, and trust me, he will protect them. We see that often in this culture where kids are being called to foreign countries, and I hate to say it, but mamas and daddies are saying, don't you want to go to college? Don't you just want to raise your family here so that I can be grandma and grandpa to your grandkids? Can I tell you what you're doing? You're being an obstacle to the gospel. That's out of love. Because I get the fact that there's love for your kids and that's the reason why you want them here. But remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? You died to self and said that whatever Jesus calls you to or your family to is greater. And so he rose and went. He didn't make a fuss. He didn't argue with God. It says he rose and he went to where God was calling him to, where the angel of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit was moving him to. In verse 27 it says, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. I read through this and I'm like, man, that's a lot of description. This must be an important person. Queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so what was taking place here in this, in as we move, he rose and went, and God is kind of working some things out like he always does, right? He's always in control, and he's working some things out, and so he's specifically calling Philip from a ministry to go and do something unique and special, and Philip, in obedience, rise and went. And then he begins to give us a picture of kind of where he's going. This is a big deal and an important person. This person not only was in a high ranking in Ethiopia, but they had direct connection to the queen of Ethiopia. Ethiopia in this time was very much seen as what we would consider an unreached people group. Very much considered as a group of people where really the gospel hadn't gone there yet. Stewards of the gospel hadn't made their way to this place. But somehow, some way, this Ethiopian eunuch, this man who had held high rank, had found out about God. He obviously found out about God and had reverence for God. The reason that we know that is because of where he was journeying back from, right? It said he had come from Jerusalem. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So there was a reverence for God. There was an attitude of respect for God. There was some curiosity about God. And so Philip was called out of obedience to go to this place, to go and do these things. I mean, I believe that there's a lot of times that we quench the Holy Spirit. Can we talk about that for a second? We quench the Holy Spirit. Or we manipulate the Holy Spirit. Or you say that the God's calling you somewhere and he ain't even spoke that to you. But we quench the Holy Spirit in our attitude of, I'm not really sure if I'm ready for that. I'll tell you a story. My mom and my stepdad were married when I was in like second or third grade. And my mother and I got it from my mom. I'm going to blame it on her. We didn't, like, try different foods. Like, we were very much against, like, if it wasn't meat, potatoes, or cheese, we didn't eat it, right? If it wasn't sweet tea or water, we didn't drink it. And so, like, we were these people who, like, had grown up, I don't know if it was poor or we just didn't try stuff. I'm not sure. We married my stepdad, and he's like this good cook. And he's like, hey, I want to cook some stuff with onions. And I looked at mom, and she's like, we don't like onions. We'll just pick them out. I'm like, all right, we don't like onions. You know? You know, it's like that's the process. I would always look at her, like, do we like that? No, we don't like that. And so that was our attitude that we took. And honestly, that is how we approach the Holy Spirit sometimes, as we're like, do I really want to do that? And we approach it. I like onions now. Like, we sauteed some onions the other night. Some of you are like, no. David Smith is like, ugh. We sauteed some onions the other night and did like quesadillas at the house. And like, I told Mary Hannah, I was like, next time we do this, like, I don't want chicken in it. I just want onions. Like, just put onions in my quesadilla. I like them that much. I didn't experience how good this stuff was until I was willing to try it. You see where we're going with this? We don't understand how good being in the will of God and doing the things of God until we're willing to move and try it. Man, Philip would have missed out on this awesome opportunity that God blessed him with if he wouldn't have just rose and went. If he wouldn't have just got up and pursued this opportunity that God had opened the door for. It was his obedience. I'm a person, if you know me in any, I like plans, okay? If you ask me to do something, I want plans. Like, I want to know exactly what it is that we're doing. I want to know exactly what time we're leaving, when around we might be back, okay? Me and my wife are weird, but we like to know like what we're eating beforehand, because we have this mindset of like, we want to prepare our stomachs. How do you prepare your stomach? I'm not sure. It's the fact that we just kind of like to know what's going on, what's going to take place, what plans. But there's something that I've learned as I follow Jesus, and that's this, and I think that this is relates to what Philip is walking through right now. Is that he sees the big picture. He sees the whole map. We just see the next step, and we have to trust him in that. He sees the big picture, and we just see the next step. And there's sometimes that we're not willing to take that next step, and the reason why is because that same attitude is leaked over into our walk with Christ, because we can't see where it leads us to. And for some of us, that's scary. For some of us, that's something that we're nervous about. But thankfully, Philip was like, okay. He got up and he went. In verse 28, it says, in returning, seated in the chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So this is referring to the Ethiopian eunuch. He not only was traveling, not only was Philip calling him there. Okay, we see the Holy Spirit working through this story, working through this situation. He had called him to this place. This man, not only were their paths about to cross, but he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Not just the prophet Isaiah, but some good stuff in Isaiah. Prophecy that was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. There's an opportunity for the gospel. We'll get to that in a second. Then we see in 29 through 31, it says this. It says, the Spirit said to Philip, Holy Spirit leading him, go over and join this chariot. I think that this is weird. All right, let me tell you why. Because in my opinion, this is like one of us walking up to a car saying, hey, God called me over here to talk to you. Right? Can I sit in your car? What are you going to do? Some of you are going to yell stranger danger. Some of you are going to hit the gas pedal. Some of the ladies in the room will pull out the pepper spray. Some of the guys in the room are pulling out the nine, all right? So we don't know what's going to happen. This is a dangerous thing. This is a weird and awkward situation. And Philip's like, hey, like, all right, God. The Spirit of the Lord is leading me there. I'm willing to go over to this Ethiopian eunuch who I would probably be willing to say had some other people with him. He wasn't traveling solo. Especially if he was the keeper of the funds, the money. And so he's traveling. In verse 30, it said, so Philip ran to him. So he's obviously moving. Philip is pursuing this caravan or this group of people that are traveling. And he runs upon him and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And asked, do you understand what you're reading? Go ahead and open that door. Right? Go and open that door for an opportunity to share the gospel. If you don't see the Holy Spirit working through this story, you're missing it. God didn't move Philip for no reason. He moved Philip for a purpose. And when God moved him, he was working other things out so that he would receive the glory for it. I'm thankful Philip didn't stay comfortable where he was. Verse 31. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? So the Ethiopian eunuch responds to Philip's response to him that says, hey, do you know what you're reading? And he says, how am I supposed to know unless somebody explains it to me? How am I supposed to understand that? And then he offered Philip an invitation, an open door for Philip to come and to sit with him and to explain. I believe that the Holy Spirit, and I've mentioned this to the teenagers, we've talked about this in my Sunday school class. I believe the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of the Godhead. I believe that we don't oftentimes give enough attention and focus and praise to the Holy Spirit. Because we often are maybe a little creeped out about the idea of the Holy Spirit, of it being a spirit or the Holy Ghost, whatever you reference it to. But I want to read you a passage of Scripture. I want to read you a snippet from John 16. The words of Jesus and what he said about the Holy Spirit. He said this in John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's going to be on the screen. It is to your advantage. It means it's good for us. That I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples, he says, it's better, don't miss this, it's better for me to leave and the Holy Spirit come. You know why? Because Jesus stood beside us, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Jesus stood beside us, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Therefore, Christ in us. And that we are allowed to respond. You move a little bit further down in John 16, 13 through 15. It says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, now Jesus is saying what the Spirit will do. He will guide you. That sounds familiar. He's guided Philip to this situation. He's overseeing. He's allowing these things to take place into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. and that the Father has in mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Church, we need to be a body of Christ that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to be a body of Christ that is moved by the Holy Spirit. We need to be a church that is listening to the Holy Spirit. You need to be individuals who are saying, God, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to go to? When's the last time that was your prayer? Who do you want me to go to? How do you want me to get there? And Philip said, I'll rise and go. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him. He was being sensitive in the nature of the Holy Spirit. He didn't get caught up in the fact that he was comfortable. And for some of you, God isn't calling you overseas to a country that's foreign. He's calling you to a relationship that's foreign. A relationship with an individual that works with you. A relationship with somebody in our community that you have so desperately avoided so that you didn't have to make much of Jesus. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because you don't want to be uncomfortable. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit because you don't want to be moved to a new place. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit because maybe it is you're uncomfortable with what he's calling you to. I believe that evangelism happens through the Holy Spirit. One, he calls us to that person. Two, he speaks through us. Don't think for a second you saved anybody. Jesus saved everyone. He's the one that did the work. He is the one that speaks through you to be able to give you the words to share the gospel. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit that God uses to guide and direct his church. And if we are blind or turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit, then we are not going to be a church that lives in obedience to his will and his way. I don't do this often, but I'm about to share a story with somebody that's in here this morning. And I asked her permission before I put her on the spot. There's some stuff that people do sometimes that just kind of makes you proud. You know what I mean? Like you can't do nothing but smile. And I received a text message from one of our students 2 weeks ago. For many of you, and I'm not endorsing our ministry in this conversation, I'm trying to give you an example of somebody who was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, okay? We had Friends Night. Friends Night, the whole purpose of it was to get people here so that we could share the gospel with them. And I had one of our students, Elaine, I'm going to ask you just to stand up so they can put a face with a name. I know that you're not into that. All right, this is Elena. Say, hey, Elena. Elena, I sent her a text. It just came from homeschool into charter school, public school, whatever you want to call it. And I texted her like her first day because I knew that there was some, you know, a little bit of nerves, a little bit of anxiety. This is a new experience. And I said, hey, how was your first day of school? And her words were exactly this: not so good. And I was like, well, why not? And she's just like, it's just different, just trying to get used to it. And she finished the conversation with this: but I'm still looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And so, she walks through these next few weeks, and I think that she's liking school a little bit more. She's made some new friends, and we all know how that is. The first day, it's sometimes an awkward experience just because you don't know people. And a couple weeks ago, she talked to me and she said, Justin, I want us to pray for somebody. And I was like, okay, who are we praying for? And she begins to just describe this kid in one of her classes. And she's like, I feel like God has put me in this class for a reason. And she said that I feel like that I've befriended this kid for a reason. And she said, I want to be able to love on him. Atheist, correct, is what he proclaimed to be. And she said, but I, you know, sometimes I get caught up in conversations. I don't know what to say. We've been there, correct? Sometimes that I'm trying to love on him, and he's just like, I'm not a religious person, you know. And then on Wednesday of Friends Night, she had been inviting him and inviting him to church, and thankful for her godly parents who were encouraging her in this, even offering to facilitate rides to get the student here. I remember hearing her parents say to her one day, she goes, "Remember, you don't know what the response is at home for him. They may be the ones saying no, not him." And she texted me Wednesday at Friend Night. "He's coming." She's pumped about that. But she took it one step further and said, "I went ahead and shared the gospel and he got saved." Can I tell you the reason why I told you, shared that with you this morning? Because that was a ninth grader who was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I'm not bashing any of them because I treat them like adults, because I expect them to act like adults. That's a ninth grader who's challenging some of you and saying, "Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit?" Because God's not just moving Philip. He's moving you to places and relationships that you are so desperately trying to avoid. God is calling you, and he is moving you to places and to people that he wants you to make much of Jesus with. He wants you to share the gospel to. Now, I am thankful that she wasn't defeated when she said, "I don't know what to say." But rather stepped back, recouped, and said, "All right, let's do it again." Let that be a testimony of what God can do through us. Let that be a testimony of what God can do through you. Man, he didn't give us his Holy Spirit for us to just abandon it. He didn't give us our Holy Spirit just to overlook it. He gave it to that we would be sensitive to it and respond to what it was calling us to. In 32 through 35, it says this. "Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, Jesus. And like a lamb before its shearer he is silent, Jesus. So he opens not his mouth." Say it with me. Jesus. That was bad. We'll let you pass. 33. "In his humiliation, justice was denied him, Jesus. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." Let's try it again. Jesus. Oh, y'all are awake. Verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, beginning with this prophecy that Isaiah had declared, he told him the good news about Jesus." He said that, here's the deal. This is fulfilled through Christ. Go to that next verse, 36. It says, "And as they were going along the road, he came to some water." I'll stop there because I wasn't ready to go there yet. So what is taking place here is that Jesus is being declared, that the gospel is being shared, because this Ethiopian eunuch crossed paths with Philip. Philip jumped up on the chariot. Philip began to share the gospel and explain that this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that they can find salvation in him. That relationship was restored. That Jesus did these things that Old Testament prophets said he did. He fulfilled it. And we live under that grace. And just like my boy Nave did this morning, verse 36. "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water." That ain't weird to y'all? That was a desert that they were sending them to. That's weird. I had to do some research on that because I was confused. But evidently there was some water there. I believe that it was God. He worked everything else out through this story. Why would we take the focus off of him now? He came to this water and the eunuch said, "There's water. What prevents me from being baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized?" Well, we know this. Baptism happens after you make a decision for Christ. So evidently, between this conversation where Philip was sharing with him that Christ fulfilled this passage in Isaiah and shared with him the good news of Jesus Christ, that he can cross over from death to life, that he can be saved and restored into a relationship with God, he accepted. And so in verse 37, they got out of the chariot. He said, stop to the chariot. And they both went down into water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Obedience. This is my last point, and I'm going to finish up real quick. But this is an important part of the story. I believe that there was a caravan of people with him. I don't believe it was just the eunuch traveling alone. That's my heart. I could be wrong. So this baptism was something that those who were traveling with him got to see. This conversation about the gossip, Philip, even though we see the attention focused on the eunuch, in many ways, I'm sure that there was people there that were listening and got to hear. Just as when you share the gospel, sometimes there's people that are bystanders that get to hear. Whether they're lost and they hear the gospel for the first time, or whether they're saved and they're encouraged by the fact that there's another believer making much of Jesus, that's important. But in many ways, as I said earlier, Ethiopia was very much described as kind of unreached group. Acts 1:8 said this, but you receive the power of the Holy Spirit and has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The original readers of this book, the original readers of Acts, when they saw this story, they understood the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Most of history tells us that this guy right here was the one who took the gospel back to Ethiopia and began to be the first missionary in Africa. Thank you, Philip, for being obedient. Story ends this way. Verse 39, and when the Spirit came up, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Some people believe that he was picked up and he was gone. I believe that in the sense of he was just moved. They hugged. They said their goodbyes, because the work that God called Philip to do there was done, and he was ready to journey back to a new place. And he said the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way celebrating. And then verse 40, it ends here. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he did what? He preached the gospel. He doesn't stop. And this morning, I want to call us to a few things. I believe oftentimes in this context, there's many of you in this room who are believers, you're followers of Christ. So I'm going to start with you today. Are you being sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Are you being sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Are you being sensitive to relationships and conversations and people that Holy Spirit is moving you to that you may be saying no to? Some of you are like, hey, I'm older, or I'm younger. I don't think that I'm ready for all of that. When you said yes to Jesus, you said you were ready for all of that. And this morning, during this time of response that we so often do, maybe you just need to cry out to the Lord and say, God, make me aware of your presence. God, speak to me, convict me, reveal truth to me, move me. That's a prayer that I think a lot of people in church aren't willing to pray today. Lord, move me. The second thing, some of you in here, you may be a leader in our church, you may be a follower of Christ for a long time, but you've never taken that step and been baptized. Maybe Nave was an inspiration for you. He said before we went in here, he goes, I'm nervous, man. I said, me too. The Ethiopian eunuch said, hey, what's preventing me from being baptized? The only thing preventing you from being baptized today is if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe that's what some of you need to do today. Maybe that's the step that you need to take. Stop being scared because you can't see the big picture. That's what faith is, trusting something that you cannot see. I trust that Jesus is in control. I trust that he has a plan for me, and I believe that he is going to move me and use me as long as I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit that he has given me, that he said is better for me than he himself here. Joey's going to come. And this morning, I changed the song, so don't hold me accountable to the bulletin. But I want to sing Holy Spirit. Because that's what we've talked about this morning. That's what's been obvious, that's moved people in this story this morning. And so I ask you, as he comes and he plays and we sing, maybe it's this altar that you want to come to and you just want to do business with the Lord. Maybe it's 9/11. Maybe you want to pray for our country. It doesn't have to just on this day. Maybe you want to pray for an individual, a person that you know in your spirit that God's been calling you to. But constantly you shut that door. Constantly you shut that door. Maybe this morning you're here and you're not a believer. You're not a follower of Christ. And God has been working on you. You've been coming here because you're interested. You've been coming here because you've been thinking about it. And you're saying, hey, I'm ready to respond to the gospel. Because I trust Jesus. Maybe you need to be baptized. Would you come tell me, your pastor, this morning? We'd be willing to do it. We'd love to do it. Let's be a church that makes much of Jesus. Father God, we come to you. God, we are thankful for who you are. Father, I pray today as we have looked at your word, God, if we have been challenged by what you did through Philip, God, that we'd be moved to a place ourselves with a renewed encouragement, a renewed motivation, a renewed heart that said, Jesus, use me. Use me. Use me in this place. Use me in my church. Use me in my community. Use me in my job. Use me in the club or the activities or the things that I do. God, let there not be one person in this room that is a believer that is checked out of their call in their life. God, let us stop complaining about what we see in this world, and let's start doing something about it. So, Father, I pray if you're calling somebody to you today, that they would move. God, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit just in this time. Father, do what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.